Missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Seize the world on kaya959.
On the street, on the air.
Now, as you know, tomorrow the US is having an election. And this election, Juliet, is history in the making.
Right.
Because it could either be the re-election of Donald Trump, or it could be the first female president that the US will have. And she also happens to be black, Kamala Harris. Now, one of my favorite business presenters has been absent from Kaya Biz for like 2 weeks. I'm sorry, 2 months. But she's actually in Minnesota. Kukuletu, how are you doing?
Top of the morning.
Been a while, crocodile.
It's been a real while. I should actually be saying good evening because it's about 17 minutes after 11 p.m. here. So 8 hours behind South Africa.
Okay, I thought it would be a lot later than that. So, look, there's a lot to discuss. Hopefully, we'll just keep you for the full hour. Talk to us about what's been happening in Minnesota. So, as you know, for example, Kamala Harris was not meant to be the Democratic candidate. She kind of inherited this post because the current incumbent decided he was going to drop out. And she's a vice president, so then she got it. So once she got it, she then had to nominate a running mate. And she selected Tim Walz, who's from Minnesota.
Exactly. Tim Walz is also commonly referred to as coach around this part of the world, where he actually served as a coach at one of the local high schools here and been sharing stories and hearing stories about how affectionate he was towards many of the pupils, really regarded as, I guess, an uncle and a dad and someone who was quite favorable in terms of supporting members of the community. I must tell you, Cesar, since my arrival here on the 6th of September, there's been a resounding level of support, not only for Tim Walz, but also the Democratic Party. Around many parts of suburbia here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, you actually see a lot of households with signposts outside their homes. And many of them have placed up blue placards, essentially highlighting that Black Lives Matter, vote for Tim Walz, Harrison Walz. And there's a strong call for the election. And I guess seeing Tim Walz essentially run as deputy or vice president for the Democratic Party. That's not to say that there aren't any Republican supporters. A lot of them are still present, perhaps not as vocal and as confident about sharing their views very publicly. But we have seen that there is quite a close contestation between the two parties. But I must say, Minnesota is typically known to be a Democratic state, one that has essentially voted that way since the late 1980s. The last time we actually saw them vote for a Republican president was back in 1972 when President Nixon actually won the election.
Okay, so we're going to get to the numbers later. I want us to first speak about just the feelings, right? Before we get to empirical evidence. I was speaking to another friend of mine who works on one of the late night TV shows. And he was asking me, what are your thoughts? And I told him, well, all along, I would have thought that Kamala Harris would have won it hands down. In fact, if you'd asked me this a month and a half ago, I thought Kamala Harris would have won. Now, seeing how close it is, and when you consider everything that Donald Trump has done and said, I'm getting a bit worried because you think this would be just one of those very easy ones to walk over. Why is it so close?
You're very right. I must tell you, it's a mixed bag. And much like you, I also walked in to this particular fellowship with many of our other peers and colleagues from various parts of the world, India, Kosovo, Ukraine, Bulgaria, just to name a few. And many of us were very confident that this is going to be a clean sweep for the Democrats. But it does appear as though there's some underlying issues that have really come to the fore for many Americans. In some of our interactions, much of the feeling on the ground from certain circles, I must tell you, educated women of all races appear to be a lot more liberal and are really clear on supporting Kamala, not only because she is female, but largely because they do want to see shifts and changes when it comes to the policies of the Democrats. So think about reproductive rights as well as the rights around abortion. And what we are seeing is that there is a sense of some concern around how Joe Biden's administration did, I guess, try to manage the concerns around the economy, which is a clear issue for many Americans who have raised concerns around the fact that a dollar just doesn't get you very far anymore. Many have actually said that the dollar store is no longer a dollar store. It's a dollar and a quarter store. because things are just so much more expensive. And this translates into what they are seeing in their pockets. But there is a growing level of individuals who are indecisive and are not too confident in the administration, not only of the Democrats, but not even too confident in Kamala Harris herself. Some of my interactions with a lot of Black men, African-American males, Hispanic Americans and Latin American descent or participants have actually highlighted that they're not too confident that the Democrats or Kamala is actually the adequate appropriate to actually lead them to the level of democracy that they'd like to see. And for those who actually do support Donald Trump, they either alert us to the fact that they appreciate that he shoots straight from the hip and is very direct. Even though much of his rhetoric has been described as being racist, misogynistic, many do say that they would rather deal with a character and a leader who they can tell is very clear about their intention and their focus, and as a result would support him nonetheless. So it's led to such murky waters, Cesar, I must tell you. And depending on who you speak to, their background, there's very different and opposing views just in terms of, you know, who supports who and the reasoning behind it. But it's not a clean sweep for the Democrats. It won't be one either for the Republicans. One thing is that this particular election will be tightly and hotly contested.
Okay, stay on the line because we're going to go to traffic and do some news. But when we come back, I want to discuss this further, right? There is a phenomenon where people actually don't articulate who they're going to vote for until they go into the booth, because obviously the vote is a secret. And so this is why I'm worried. I feel like in the polls, the Donald Trump votes are underrepresented. And we'll see what's going to happen, for example, after tomorrow. On the line, we've got Guguletu Mfupi, the one from Kaya Biz, coming to us live from Minnesota. The U.S. election is underway. Well, in a couple of hours. And so by tomorrow, we'll know what the election results are. Having a discussion right now about the chances that Kamala Harris has to make history, or Donald Trump being re-elected. And obviously, we were speaking about the electoral system. So in the U.S., it's not like South Africa. You don't just tally up the votes and go, okay, you got this many, you win. You can actually win the popular vote and still lose the election, because what they do is they divide up all the states, and each state carries what's called electoral votes. And the electoral votes are the ones that get you elected, hence the term electoral votes. So tell us more about that, Google.
Oh, this is a topic that's actually met with so much controversy, confusion, and often conflict at times, depending on who you speak to. But many Americans and even observers of the U.S. elections have actually said that this particular system might be outdated and irrelevant. Because much like the history of the U.S., it's essentially founded by various founders and founding states that actually all then came together in order to start and form this juggernaut of an economy, really. And it's largely based on the fact that it tries to take into account the population size of the various states to ensure that there wouldn't be, I guess, a miscount of voting. And this is also largely premised on slavery back in the time when it was still present in the U.S. and was actually viewed as such that they would have to be an electoral college that would be elected to make sure that, because of slavery and the Black African Americans not being able to vote, that the South would essentially have lost elections previously. So that's actually the construct of the electoral college. It's led to a lot of frustration, and many are saying that it partly leads to the debate around the swing states. Think Pennsylvania and California, which essentially have the highest numbers of electoral votes. And that also plays an influence in terms of how the election results not only are tallied, but the outcomes of the presidency, as you adequately mentioned. Mm. We've also seen that that is also where there's a lot of differences that take place. If I'm not mistaken, George W. Bush and Hillary Clinton, as you mentioned, during their particular electoral campaigns and electoral results, that's where we saw the shift in the difference between the popular vote versus the electoral vote, and that actually being the determining factor as to who essentially takes the helm in being the president of the United States. So quite confusing for many, but does play a significant influence in the outcomes that we do see here.
100%. Now, you brought up George W. Bush, right? Bush 43. Yep. Now, you know, I remember that election. It was the first U.S. election that I followed. And I remember that there was a huge dispute in Florida. And that matter even went to a constitutional court. And the constitutional court had to make a ruling. And then that's how Bush 43 won over Al Gore. If Al Gore had become the president, you got to look at and think it would have been a very different world altogether. Not just a different U.S., but a different world. because I think if 9/11 had happened after or under Al Gore, how he would have handled it would have been different. Climate change would have been prioritized a lot sooner in the world. And again, you've got to ask yourself, if Donald Trump had not become president, would we be better off or worse off? Now, you mentioned California, right? Uh-huh. Kamala is from there. You also went to the Capitol, I think earlier on your trip, about a month ago. While you were on the Hill, did you discuss anything with the Senate? Did you get a better sense about why it is that lawmakers have allowed something like this to happen, where you've got essentially a felon running? The guy's been impeached multiple times, has over 30 counts currently of charges, but still a credible candidate and may become the president tomorrow again.
Right. That's been a big question. And I'm so glad that you mentioned this, because it's part of the confusion and the frustration that has actually led to not only many international participants, but Americans themselves saying, how did we find ourselves in this conundrum yet again? And it goes back to the Constitution, essentially, of the U.S., which highlights that there are two fundamental characteristics that the presidential candidate needs to have. Firstly, they need to either be a U.S. citizen or have lived in the U.S. for at least 15 years. But there's no direct statement that actually highlights that they shouldn't necessarily be a felon or have any felon charges against them, criminal charges against them. And that's essentially part of the flexibility that has allowed Donald Trump to, I guess, maneuver his way back into being the presidential candidate for the Republicans. You raise a very valid point around many observations during his presidency of the U.S. between 2016 and 2020 and what that looked like. And a lot of Americans have said, well, life continued on. The economy did do well, but it was the COVID pandemic that really brought about a sense of frustration regarding his leadership. He would flip-flop and dilly-dally between certain decisions, not give any clarity in terms of a level of certainty, in terms of key policies, and of course, raise a lot of frustration for many global participants regarding his views, not only on immigration, but just on global trade and key international ties that he chose and opted not to prioritize. Now, that has set the tone for what many continue to lay as concerns regarding his presidency should he be reelected in this current election. Despite that, Sizwe, there's a very valid point that you highlighted, that a lot of Americans might not vocally or loudly support Trump purely because of the public criticism and scrutiny that follows it, but they actually do agree with the policies of the Republicans, largely focused on protectionism, prioritizing Americans first, and presenting a level of, focus on the U.S. before looking to solve, quote unquote, the rest of the world's issues, especially if we take a look at the global conflicts that are taking place at the moment regarding geopolitics. Kamala, on the other hand, I know is another key topic you want us to discuss, right? Especially her background in California and how it's actually been perceived by African-American men and Latin Americans. It's not been very confident. Many are very critical of her and often feel as though there's a great level of distrust, divide, and a lack of, leadership that they believe that she's brought to the fore. Now, this is despite the fact that Kamala has actually managed to, I guess, triple the level of capital that she's been able to raise, especially on the back of a short foray into the candidacy, into presidential candidacy. And of course, there is a lot of criticism still that lingers, largely related to her history, despite the fact that she herself has also come through the legal fraternity in this regard.
Well, that's all we have time for this morning. Thank you very much for joining us. When are you coming back to Kaya Biz, by the way?
Should I keep everybody in their misery? Everyone keeps asking, but I'll be back on Monday, the 18th of November.
Excellent. Gugule Tsumfupi right there. Usually brings you Kaya Biz, but today he was giving us coverage as she is in the U.S. in Minnesota. You know what's happening tomorrow. The U.S. has elections.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.